And last week, if you remember, I also read from Romans chapter 7. We were looking at chapter 6 and used it as a kind of a culminating point, and we're using it as a springboard for chapter 8 today. So Romans chapter 7, verse 14, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All righty. The Bible says, we know that the law, talking about the law of Moses, is spiritual. But I, Paul talking, am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I can't get off my phone. I can't get off the internet. I can't get off of pornography. I can't get off of drugs. I can't get off of... I'm a soul as a slave to sin. Get what I'm talking about? Get what Paul's talking about here? I do not understand what I do because I'm caught and I can't get away. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No. The evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Tracking with that? Struggling with that? Little bit of sin tagging along with each one of us. We've got to stomp on that. See somebody caught in sin? Help them stomp. Right? That sin will just grow up, take a foothold, wrap itself around you, and kill you. See somebody in it? Help them out. All righty. Let's see. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner to the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am, because I'm trapped. And who will rescue me from this body of death? Praise be to God. That Jesus set me free. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Lord, come before you this morning, and I pray that you would bind every distraction. Lord, there's supposed to be more folks here today. Bonds of sin are tight. Can't get away. Want to do good. Can't seem to carry it out. Lord, I pray supernatural aid today. Come and guide and direct and heal and transform. Lord, we'll give you all the glory. We'll put our focus upon you, that you would guide us, Lord, into righteousness, the fullness of life that you have for us. We'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, series called The Road to Righteousness. Sometimes you can get a little bit bogged down. Can I get a witness on that? I reminded of the time that I was driving back with my brother's friend Eric from Santa Cruz. I was in my early 20s, and I had a little Triumph TR7. Fun little car to drive. Did not go real fast, but got there real quick. And so we're coming back from Santa Cruz going to Fresno. It's about, I don't know, an hour and 45-minute ride. And we're coming by the San Luis Reservoir, and I blew my motor. But being dumb, anybody been dumb? I said, we're just trapped here. And so I just kept on driving. Drove all the way to the glorious metropolis of Los Banos. There's those of you who do not habla, you can ask somebody who does what that means. And it is Sunday night. It is, I don't know, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and we are stuck. We are 60 miles from Fresno. Car is shot, and we got no way home. And so we're asking, around, anybody going to Fresno? Anybody going? I mean, nobody's, well, a lot of people driving through Los Banos. And after, I don't know, 20 minutes, the guy says, yeah, I'm going to Bakersfield. And I go right by Fresno. I can drop you off at Herndon and just keep on going. We're like, yeah. Sometimes you get bogged down on your road to righteousness. You need a little help. Keep on the move. Amen? All right. We are on this series, and we are talking about the road to righteousness. And this is a similar image to what I used last week. We are talking about the road to righteousness, that yellow line. And we talked about this last week. When you get saved, that big old white down lower corner, salvation. We're talking about sin and trying to get away from sin. And that red line down there is our starting point. Not very attractive. Amen? Justification, we talked about that last week and the week before, is when you surrender your life to the Lord, God appoints to you all the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And he declares, he makes this statement of justification that you are righteous. The problem is that we're still the same stupid guys that we were right before we got saved. The road to righteousness, we call it a process of sanctification in which you start making better choices in your life. Amen? Now, Jesus says the road to glory is a narrow road. It's straight, but it is steep. Amen? Can I get a witness on that? Now, I want to show you something. This is the sanctification process, and it shows all kinds of jagged jumps and bumps and bruises along the way. It's straight. It's narrow. It's long. That's not the route. That's our progress on the route. Sometimes you ever get that? You're just clicking with God, just cruising day, all day, just in the presence of God, going, yeah, glory. Lisa met a lady last night, and she just felt impressed. We left the store, we went to Pickup Sticks, and the lady working the register says, you know what? God wants me to go invite that lady to church. And she got out of the car, went back in, invited her, had a great little conversation, came back smiling. You know, she's like, yeah, Lord, obedience is key to sanctification. Can I get a witness on that? But sometimes you don't have that day. Amen? Sometimes we can slow right down. Sometimes we're not making any progress at all, and we can use a little help, just like me and Eric on our road to Fresno. Now, we are traveling on that road to righteousness, and we don't travel alone. That person next to you might come up along next to you when you are having some trouble on your road and say, hey, you look like you're having a rough day. Can I help you out? The appropriate response at that point is not, no, I can handle it on my own. If that guy who offered us a ride to Fresno that night said, hey, you want to ride to Fresno? Said, no, I'm just going to walk. We could have got to Fresno, but it would have taken all night walking. So that person comes along beside you and says, oh, I could help you out. The proper response is, oh, yes, please. Amen? We have an advocate that comes to lead us down this road to righteousness. The Holy Spirit guides us, leads us down this road every day. Good days and bad days. He's still there, guiding, leading, helping, and directing. How you doing? How's your progress? Paul's describing this progress, this whole thing. Chapter 6, we talked about breaking free from sin. And we learned that you don't want to let your past drag you away from your future. Amen? Sometimes that'll happen. Today we're going to talk about getting some help along the way, spend our time in Romans chapter 8. Good? We okay? All right. Life in the Spirit. Kind of sounds kind of mystic. We're going to talk about that today. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Can I get a witness? For those who are in Christ Jesus. You can, if you got paper, I don't know how you do it if you got a computer there or it's on your phone, but if you can touch something, do something, highlight that in your Bible. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in me and you and us who live according to the Spirit and do not live according to sin. Amen? God will break us away from sin. You got to take the steps. Amen? Now, he says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is quite a jump from chapter 7 when Paul is saying, what a wretched man that I am. It's like, whoa, wretched man, no condemnation. Now, Paul realizes that he is wretched, that he is lost because of the law. The law of Moses, as Paul read it, said, don't covet. All of a sudden, he wanted everything. See, we got sin that is controlling us, and we don't even know it. We got death that is reigning in our lives, and we don't even know it. Our culture would say, oh, you got a little death? We can polish that up. You don't need to get rid of that. Why? Because I got my death, and he's got his death. And that's politically correct. Everybody's got a little bit of death, and don't tell me my death is a problem. Can I get a witness on that? Anybody says, your death is a problem? Oh, politically incorrect. I'm going to beat you up. What? No, I'm not going to go there. All right. The law of Moses was given to point our way to glory, but it spun up sin in our lives to make us aware that we had a problem. Instead of a path to righteousness, it gave us a path to condemnation. Now, God breaks us free from that life of sin because of the sacrifice of Christ. He comes and he breaks that bond. He cuts the bonds of sin in your life so that you can indeed choose to do good. You are bound in sin with no way of escape except for the blood of Christ. Writer of Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Now, how do we know that? From the law of Moses. He said there must be sacrifice to handle your unrighteousness. He sets forth his standards in the law, and he just can't come up to Paul and say, Paul, I sure like you. I'm just going to let you off the hook. Right? Because it wouldn't be fair to Marie or to Tommy. He said, wait a minute. You let Paul off the hook. Why not let me off the hook? See, God never winks at sin. Can I get a witness on that? But in the gospel, which is the power for salvation, is the testimony of Christ Jesus, a sinless life and a sacrifice on the cross, that when you surrender your life to him, he gives you new life and takes his death and applies it to your account. And so God says, oh, you surrendered my life to my son. His death is applied to your account, and that is completely fair and is completely just. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, talking again about life in the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature. You know what that is, don't you? I did. Everybody knows what living according to sinful nature is, right? Because we all came out of that nature. Can I get a witness on that? We are born with that nature. See a little boy back there playing in the curtains. Hadn't been redeemed yet. You guys were in here playing in the curtains and said, stop it. Sinful nature going on, right? We come out of that infancy and God moves us. Amen? Just don't let them tear the curtains. But it's okay for little boys to play in the curtains back there. That's what little boys are supposed to do. All right, let me get back here. All right, here we go. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. We only got two options, sin, the Spirit, death, or life and peace. They are in direct conflict with one another. Many of us in this room have crossed over from death to life and peace. I hope I'm talking to you, because if not, dying is not much of a living. The sinful man is hostile to God. Do you remember? You know, I remember I was hostile to God. Why? Because he was getting in the way of my sin. Can I get a witness? I had stuff I wanted to accomplish, and there was God telling me I couldn't do it. I didn't like that. There's all kinds of people out there who don't like it. Amen? Sinful man cannot please God. Sinful man cannot nudge himself up on that road of righteousness 1 foot, 1 yard, or even 1 inch. It is impossible for the sinful man to please God. Now, he talks about God's law here. And he can be talking about Moses' law, or he can be talking about the law of the Spirit. Moses' law was perfect, good, and righteous. The problem with the law was our sin. There was no problem with the law in itself. Amen? The law of sin and death is where we find ourselves down there in that red area down there when we are utterly alienated and separated from God, unable to escape. When you surrender your life to God, there in that white thing, salvation, God sets you free, cuts you free from sinfulness. And you can begin now to choose to do righteous. Amen? We just get bound in our lives, unable to move, unable to do good things. As Paul's saying, I want to do the good I can. Can't do it. I went to the eye doctor on Wednesday, and it was a challenge. They dilated my pupils. Stand up here. Ooh. But I got there, and they're looking at my glasses, and I can see far, okay, but I can't read much. And what I do, I read a lot, you know? And they said, when they made your glasses, they gave you the minimum amount of bifocal on that thing. Who made that choice, man? You know, I mean, I'm sitting here, and after you get these glasses, and I'm reading something, you know, I got to lean my head back. It's like I got to look at the very bottom edge of these glasses. And then she says, and these glasses are all beat up. You know, they're hanging real low on your nose like this. So now I really got to, you want me to tighten those things up for you? Oh, please. You know? And so she instead of sitting way down here, they sit up here. And it's like, you have to move my, hey, hey. And then I go see the doctor, you know, and you got the machines looking at your eyes. And you get to the end, it says, okay, here's your existing prescription for reading. You're seeing far is fine. And I'm like, yeah, I've been living, you know, bound with these glasses for, you know, 2 years, 3 years now. And you know, they give you the new glasses, and what they tell you, oh, it'll take a week to get used to them. So if they're wrong, after a week you're figuring, oh, this is right now. You know what I mean? I'm bound by my glasses. And she says, this is your existing prescription. And she's got some writing stuff up there. And this is what I'm going to give you. And it's like, it's like coming from darkness to light. Yes! I need somebody with a Costco card. She says, go to Costco. They'll make you a good glass. I'm like, okay. But sometimes you get bogged down. And you need to get some help along the way. Amen? All right. Let's keep going. We doing okay? All right. Let's see. Point number two. Sin does not die easy. Can I get a witness? Verses 9 to 11. You, raise your hand if you're you. Oh, they've got some non-yous there. Man, what are you guys? All right. You, however, oh, here we go. Y'all. Raise your hand if you're y'all. All right. I want to let you know that includes you. I'm talking to you today. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature. Hallelujah. But by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. I'm going to talk to you about that if in just a second. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, I'm sorry, among Christ, there we go, sorry. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. God gives us a whole new way to live. And I want to let you know that if you have indeed surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Now, there's four ifs that are sprinkled through these verses 9 through 11. I've only got the bottom of those verses up there on the screen. So there's two more that are not pictured. There's some Greek stuff going on there. And rather than bore you with that Greek stuff, I want to let you know that those ifs can better be translated because. It's a conditional statement with assuming a positive answer. It's kind of complicated. But, so you can say, because Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive. You follow me on that? And because the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Tracking with me there? That's kind of a technical thing. Christians are broken free from sin and are able to move in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you the choice of being able to move down that road of righteousness. The question is what are you going to choose? It's not a change that the Holy Spirit forces. It's a surrender that we make. See, the Holy Spirit will lead you down that right road to righteousness every day. If you let him. If you follow him. If you obey him. See, Lisa could have gotten in the car last night and said, nah, I don't care about that lady. How led is she being? How led by the Holy Spirit is she? Not very much. She says, you know what? She sat down and she said, you know what? The Lord wants me to go talk to that lady. And she had to go wait in line to talk to the lady. You know what she did? Wait in line. You know, sometimes the Lord will ask you to do inconvenient things. And you can just say, Lord, that's kind of inconvenient. I don't care. But I don't think it was all that convenient for Jesus to hang on a cross. Amen? Amen. All right. Sin does not die easy. And to get away from it is not easy. Paul describes this not being just a physical thing, a spiritual thing, but a physical component is there. And when we are called to meet the Lord in the sky, when that trumpet blast sounds, we are going to be transformed in a twinkling of an eye. Amen? We have brand new bodies. And they will be able to withstand the glory of God. Because if we experience the glory of God right now, we'd probably be burned to a crisp in an instant. We receive glorified bodies, but there's something for now as well. Peter writes, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Now that is Paul, Peter, and it sounds just like Paul, doesn't it? Sounds just like what we're talking about. But he adds this thing in from Isaiah, by his wounds you have been healed. Pastor Carlos brought a testimony yesterday morning at the men's breakfast about a healing that is coming in his body. It's a medication, expensive medication he got, delivered from hepatitis C, and there's a regeneration that's going in with his liver. Yeah, it's just glorious. And you got physical ailments. I got eyes. I got body. I got all kinds. Lord, hallelujah. That's why that person looking next and sitting next to you is looking so good. Say again, you're looking good today. God's taking care of you. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse through chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. All right, therefore, we've been talking about therefore, because of all this stuff. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. Would you say obligation? Obligation. We have an obligation to get off your phone. Oh, no, sorry. We have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. I'll say, and daughters of God. Amen? For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave. Say slave. A slave again to fear. Would you say fear? But you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. We need to work this out. We have an obligation to work this out. See, sin is still reaching out to the Christian. To that person living in the spirit, sin is still reaching out. Calling out to you, trying to put its hooks in you. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to put that behind us and keep our focus on God. Is that what you're doing? Take some effort. We are not perfect. That's why we got this herky-jerky line of sanctification, because it's not all peaches and cream. And sometimes when you're having a bad day, sometimes when you're having a bad week, you can start wondering if you're even saved. Do I even know God? That is why we have received the spirit of sonship. Because when you're having a bad day, a bad week, bad month, I hope it's not any longer than a bad month, you can cry out and say, Dad, cry out to God like a loving father. Lord, I'm so lost. I need some help. And he puts his arms around you and he says, my child. John tells us that perfect love drives out fear. God adopts us into his family. It's a declaration similar to our justification. He says, you surrender your life to me, I'm going to apply my son's righteousness to you. You are clean. You're going, but I'm still kind of messed up, God. And he says, I'm going to make you my son. He says, I'm going to make you my daughter. You say, I'm still kind of messed up. You're my son. You're my daughter. The Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit will lead you down that road to righteousness. If you'll follow. If you will let him. If you will obey. Because some people say, I'm fine, man. I don't need nothing. I'm good. Got a little bit of death. A little bit of sin. Haven't moved a lot lately. I'm kind of stuck here. But I'm okay. Don't be okay. Let the presence and spirit of God guide your life and transform you. Yes. Got to connect. Lisa and I, JJ and Danny went to a school thing on Friday night. So we were alone.
Alone.
And moving on. And she said, you know, I in my waking time, you know, that kind of, I'm not really asleep. I'm not really awake yet. And man, the Lord speaks so clearly to me. He says, you know, I'm gonna get a journal. I'm going to start writing this stuff down. The Friday night, we're talking. He says, you know, this morning I woke up and the Lord just kind of impressed on me, be still and know that I am God. Just, you know, I had one the other morning. It doesn't happen every morning, but man, when it does, it just comes through with such power. And the Lord will take those times to move you, to lead you down that road to righteousness. JJ and I get up all the days of the week, and we do that journaling thing that we talked about several months back. And I filled up a whole journal, and I'm on my second one. And, you know, it starts off writing about yesterday, the good stuff that happened, the challenges that happened, you know, what could have gone better, how could you have been better. You know, sometimes you got to forgive, sometimes you got to ask forgiveness, all that kind of stuff. But you kind of a review of yesterday, and allows me to just kind of pour my day in front of the Lord and say, Lord, you know, what do you think? What do you want me to do for you? And I just get in this prayer mode and just get into His presence, and it's dynamic, and I dig it, and it moves me down the road to righteousness. If you're looking for something like that, 9 o'clock Monday through Friday, right here, about half an hour of prayer, and then pray for individual needs. Maybe you're going, I'd love to do that, I just can't get down there. Go to CHAG prayer page, and it's how I do it, and they put it right live right on the CHAG prayer page, and you can pray with them. And it's a cool thing. I don't remember how to do it, but somebody around here knows. You can hit a button, like it or follow it or do something. And every day my phone says, CHAG Prayer is live right now. And if I'm driving or whatever, I just, boom, put it on. And Tommy's praying or Lisa's praying, somebody's praying, and I'm praying like right with them. It will move you, lead you, guide you down your road to righteousness. Amen? How many people have come and been part of it here? Hands up high. How many people have done it on CHAG prayer page? I'm digging it on CHAG prayer. All right, it just worked for me. The road is a challenge. Can I get a witness? I consider our present sufferings. Did anybody ever just think, can we just take that suffering part out? Can't. I consider our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Creation waits in eager expectation. Mike, can you get that hammer to stop for me, please? Thank you. Creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Suffering is part of the plan. Paul says the prize is worth the pain. The prize is God's glory. It's a challenging road, but God will use every challenge to make you look a little bit more like Jesus. That's why you guys look so good. You're starting to look a little bit more like Jesus. As members of the family of faith, we have received a little bit of glory. He calls it here the first fruits of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. I always miss one. Goodness, thank you, babe. Let's not get carried away. When Jesus comes, we're going to get the fullness. We're going to get the rest of that glory. Now, all creation is waiting for that day. Why? Because Adam. At the time of Adam, creation was subjected to frustration. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. God says to Adam, the ground is cursed because of you. Paul says, it wasn't anything the creation did. But there is a redemption or a transformation that is going to happen to creation to match ours. See, we get brand new bodies, the eternal bodies that can withstand the glory of God. And we are going to be living in a new heaven and a new earth who also receive a similar upgrade, so that we will be familiar with our surroundings, but they also will be able to handle the glory of God, because there's not going to be any sun and there's not going to be any moon. We will live in glory. And that the glory of God will be our light. Amen? It says it's waiting. It is like running to that finish line, just going, stretching forward to that finish line. He talks about hope. And that road to righteousness is like it passes through, the whole road is through the tunnel of death. Surrounded by death, moving through death. And you can't really see past it. But you know that there's glory on the other side. And he says that's our hope. And that's what keeps us moving down that road as the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. We follow because of our hope for glory. We get a little bit now, and we'll get the rest later. Amen? Amen. All right, last thing I got for you, verses 26 to 30. Bible says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. If you got paper, or if you can figure out how to write on your computer, underline that one too. That's a biggie. And this one here is a biggie too. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers, and I'll add sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. So on our road, God provides spiritual assistance. The Holy Spirit will lead you down the road to righteousness. When we are weak, he is strong. Amen? The Holy Spirit helps us in our battle against sin, guiding us, directing us, empowering us. God's will is that we move towards glory. Paul gives us the progression. Those God foreknew, he predestined to be like Jesus. And this is not anything really to do with knowledge, but has to do with choice. To get us to that glory, God chooses us. And he says that when we are weak and we are confused and we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit prays for us. Now, the Holy Spirit always prays in accordance with God's will. And that is because, I can't do this because you guys can't see that. Because God, the Holy Spirit prays from the end. All right, I'm going to try and do this. I think everybody can see this. It's like the Holy Spirit is up here. And he is praying. He's going right here. And he sees that turn in our lives. He says, I know what's coming. Let me pray you through. And we're praying, but it's like our prayers are down here, and his prayers are way up high. And he is guiding us and leading us down that road to righteousness. So he chooses us. That choice, become part of his family. To complete the process, he calls us out of sin and into righteousness. Talked about the justification process last week. Those he calls, he justifies so that you can respond to him. And those he justifies, he pours out glory. A little bit at first, but the rest comes later. Amen? Lisa, you want to come up? Road to righteousness. How you doing? How you doing this week, this month, this year? The Holy Spirit is there guiding, leading, directing you every day. And every day you're saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I'll say yes to your will and yes to your way. Or it's, Lord, you're moving me too fast. Lord, I got too much stuff going on. Lord, I'm fine right here. Sin will call out, you don't need to go there. Sin is the evil taskmaster. Starts off pulling you in, and chain you up, and leave you destroyed. Maybe you're here and you're pumping and you're sweating and it is good. Praise the Lord. God will do a work in you. Maybe you're here and you're saying, I need a little bit of help. Could be physical. My body is so messed up. Needs a little bit of help, Lord. Could be spiritual. Holy Spirit prays for you, pulls you on. But whether it be physical, whether it be spiritual, if you are not progressing, the Lord right now is letting you know. Saying, this message is for you today. Time to move. Should be moving. You're stuck. Maybe you are here and you haven't even started. You are bound by sin. Sin's got you and is laughing at you this morning. Ha! I got you. And there's no way out. And you would say this morning, Lord, I need some help. And he says, I hung on a cross to set you free, and I'll never leave you alone. Amen? Lord, I come before you this morning. I pray that you are speaking to our hearts. Lord, I know you are speaking to our hearts, and Lord, that you guide us each day and that you would glorify yourself among us. Lord, I pray for that person who has not started. Sin has them bound and mocks them this morning. Says, you can't get away. But this morning you come and you offer freedom in the gospel. The power to save, the power to heal, the power to guide. You're here this morning. You need to be set free from sin. Nobody looking around, you're saying, that is me. That is me. That is me. I am stuck in my life. I didn't ever understand why, but now I do. And I want Jesus' death applied to me so that I can be made new in my life. Nobody looking around. That's you this morning. I just want you to slide your hand up. That's me this morning, Pastor. I need to be set free. Back here. Somebody else would say, that's me. Over here, amen. Over here. Somebody else say, that's me. That's me. I need to be set free. Back here, amen. Back here, amen. Anybody else say, Lord, set me free, Lord. I'm bound to sin. I need to be set free. Now, I don't want you to confuse that feeling with that fear that Paul wrote about, because that spirit of fear, because if you've done that before, what you do is you say, oh, Dad, I'm bogged down in life. I can't make progress. Help me out. Come, come here, Lord, to me. And he'll put his arms around you and he'll say, my child, I love you so much. Jesus died on the cross for you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Just haven't really been paying attention lately. We've all had children that haven't paid attention lately. We don't give them up. The Lord's not giving up on you, so maybe you know you're saved, but boy, it's been steep lately. You're saying, Lord, I could use some help. Could be that person sitting next to you or across the room. We'll help you. We're not going to smash you down and say, oh, really? Could be the Holy Spirit guiding and directing you, but it's been a rough week, month, year, whatever, and you just raise your hand and say, oh, Lord, I need some help. I just need some help, Lord. Send help my way. That's you just slide your hands up. That's me, Lord. I'm praying. Lord, I need your guidance and direction. Lord, it's been rough. I could use some power back here. Somebody say, that's me. Hallelujah, Lord. I need some help. It is not bad to need help.
Yes, Lord.
Over here, anybody else right here? Hallelujah. Anybody else? That's me. That's me. That's me. We're all going to stand. Worship team is going to come. You need prayer? This is where you get your help, right up here.
Amen.
Latch on to the Holy Spirit's guidance, moving down that road to righteousness. Some of you come up here to pray, so maybe that help will come in the fashion of somebody to come alongside you, wrap their arms around you, and say, we can walk through this together. But don't let the devil steal your victory. Don't stay back there. When you need some help, you need some help, you want to get some help, come up here. And get some help. Amen? Amen. Put that song up there, would you, JJ?